you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 34. It's interesting, Leroy, that you came from Psalm 34. Also, that's amazing to me. If I'm in the same scriptures you're in, I know I must be getting anointed. Psalm 34. Leroy read for us verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, that's very powerful because God is good, period. But you and I have to taste or experience His goodness to know it for ourselves. It's one thing for God to be good. It's a whole different thing for you to know God is good. It's a whole different thing for me to know God is good. And that's what He wants. God wants to reveal Himself to each one of us in His goodness. I remember President Roberts, when we were back in the university, he would say, God meets you at the point of your need. God will meet you at the point of your need. And it's right there when you cry out to God, when you begin to worship God in the middle of your need, that He reveals Himself as good. And from that time on, you have that insight. I know God is good because He did this for me, or He did that for me. And you start to build, your life becomes a history of what God will do. Not only that, your life becomes a revelation of what God will do. Your life can speak to somebody else because of what He's done for you. How many folks got some history with God? You got some history? God's done something. God's healed something. God's delivered you from something. God trained you. Has God been training some folks? Shoot. Come on, He got you. That's right. God got to put the bridle, He's got to get us in training. Well, I'm not going to start, I've already started in verse 8, but what I was supposed to read starts in verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Would you stand with me for the reading this morning? I'm going to just read the first four verses. I'm going to read it in King James for you. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble, everybody say the humble.
Humble.
Say it again, the humble.
The humble.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's amazing that when people get saved, when people actually get born again, when they become a new creature, you find that they just have a song of praise. That just praise and thanksgiving just begins to bubble out of their lives. Now, they may have been real grumpy and real grouchy, real depressed before they got saved, but when a person gets saved, praise just bursts out. Thanksgiving just breaks forth. Now, after you've gotten saved, the enemy is going to come, and the devil, who is your enemy, the Bible says that we have an adversary, the devil, he's going to come to take away, to steal your praise. He's going to come to steal your joy. He's going to bring all kinds of things against you to steal your thanksgiving. Because he knows that if he can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. But when we get born again, joy, when we really get born again, joy is just a natural outflow. And here's the thing. Just because the devil stops up your well doesn't mean it has to stay stopped up. Just because the devil cuts off your praise doesn't mean it has to stay cut off. And we're going to talk about how we can restore joy, restore praise in our lives. Is that all right? My grandmother, my father's mother, just used to praise God. I remember when Pastor Janie was teaching on praise, she was talking about how her mom would get up in the morning and praise God. And that's generations. And Janie got it from her mom. Well, my mom was not a singer. She didn't like to sing. She could croak it out there, but she liked to play. She was a musician, a pianist. And so I could get up in the evenings and hear my mom playing different hymns on the keyboards. But my grandmother, she wasn't a singer when I knew her, but she sang. She'd be in the kitchen cooking and singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." Well, her son, my dad, he definitely wasn't no singer. But you could hear him every once in a while singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Because it's not about whether you are a singer per se or not. The question is, when you get saved, do you have thanksgiving? The question is, when you get saved, have you got praise coming out of you? Or has the devil shut your praise down? Because the devil wants to shut your praise down, because if he can shut your praise down, he can keep you from your victory. He can keep you from your inheritance in God. I was talking Wednesday about finding songs that encourage your faith. Like my grandma, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Well, and Wednesday nights we have church. We start at 6:30. I want to encourage everybody to take the next step. Take a step in your spiritual growth. Do something. Stretch yourself and come to Wednesday night. Not just Sunday, but say, okay, I'm going to go to Wednesday night. Take another step in your spiritual growth. Last Wednesday, I was talking about how to look for songs that will encourage your faith. Let's go to the slides. And I just want to give you these. I went through these real quickly. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to any other music. You know, you listen to what you want to listen to. But I want to encourage you, when you need faith, when you need a miracle, when you need to contact God, music can be a great help to you. But not just any music. Are we at the slides yet? Not just any music, but you got to have music that will encourage your faith. Hallelujah. Well, let me give them to you. I'll just give them to you. You can just write them down. Okay, look for songs. Here's some things to look for. Does the song line up with the Word of God? Number one. Does the song agree with the Bible? Okay. Does the song line up with the Word of God? Does the song agree with the Bible? So like I was telling, I think I've told you this, but I heard this song again. You know, I was eating dinner and like I said, every song doesn't agree with the Bible, but this song, you know, when I was a kid, this used to be, you know, you could just dance to this song. "Me and Mrs. Jones." I mean, wasn't that a smooth song? That was just so smooth. "We got a thing going on." And so there are a lot of songs and they're smooth and a lot of things go better with music. But when you need faith, when you need a prayer answered, when you need to be strong spiritually, you need to know how to pick songs that will build your faith and encourage you. So this is one thing to look for. When you're looking for songs that will encourage you, does the song line up? Here we go. There we go. Does the song line up with the word of God? Does the song agree with God's word? Number two, next thing. Does the song encourage or inspire faith in God's mercy? Does the song inspire faith in God's mercy? Number three, does the song actually contain portions of scriptures? Does the song actually contain portions of scriptures and promises from God? Again, you can have other songs, you know, when you want to do other things, but if you ever need a prayer answer, when you want something that's going to build your faith and restore joy in your life, these are the songs you want to look for. Does the song remind you of the goodness of God? Does it find you a song? Does it remind me of how good God is? And then at last, does the song glorify Jesus? So when you need joy, when you need your faith to be strengthened, when you need to grow spiritually, you want to look for songs that encourage your faith and look for these things. Does the song have these things? This will really help you. Again, you can, you know, listen to me and Mrs. Jones or whatever else you want to listen to. But this is what you need when you want to grow spiritually. Now, I'm going to give you several scriptures. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning that's going to help you to build your faith and to release your praise. Do y'all want to release your praise?
Amen.
Okay. You got to get loose now if you want to release your praise. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm not, okay. Write this down. When we praise the Lord, we put ourselves into position to receive His mercy. When we praise the Lord, we put ourselves into position to receive His mercy. I'm going to just read these scriptures for you. You can just write them down. Matthew 8, verse 2. This is when the leper came to Jesus. The Bible says that he came to Jesus and he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And when he worshiped Jesus, then he received the mercy, the healing that he wanted. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, there came a ruler to Jesus, and the Bible says he worshiped him, and a man needed his daughter to be healed. And when he worshiped Jesus, Jesus brought healing to his daughter. He received mercy. In Matthew chapter 15, There was a woman who came to Jesus, and her daughter was possessed by a devil, and the Bible says that she worshiped him, and Jesus healed her daughter. And then in Mark chapter 5, there was a man who was demon-possessed, and the Bible says that he came and he worshiped Jesus, and when he worshiped him, then Jesus cast the devil out. When we praise the Lord, we put ourselves into position to receive His mercy. So a lot of times people are praying and they're not getting anything because they're not positioning themselves to receive. Okay. So like, you know, if you're a catcher in baseball, you don't just stand there. There's a position for catching. There's a position for receiving. And praise puts us into position to receive mercy. The word worship comes from a root that also gives us the word worth, W-O-R-T-H, or worthy. We worship what we consider to be worthy. Come on, y'all. So we're not going to pick on you, but, you know, some of y'all Alabama fans. Kentucky fans. Louisville fans. I don't have to say get loose when I'm at the game, you know, because everybody's loose. They've gotten drunk. Whatever it is, they're loose. And they're ready because we worship what we think is worthy. We jump up. We slap each other. But it's mighty quiet in church. Okay, okay. All right. I'm just saying. Okay, listen to this. Worship centers on the answer to a series of questions that we all face. Listen to this. What matters most to me? Who do I care about most? Now remember, Jesus said the great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength. So worship centers around the answer to these questions. Who or what gets my devoted allegiance and loyalty? What's my top priority? Where does my time, energy, and money go? Boy, it's quiet in church. Okay. All right, so when we start answering these questions, when we ask ourselves these questions, and we start answering these questions honestly, then we see where we are in terms in our relationship with God. We see where we are in our hearts. Where is our heart in reference to God? What we worship is what we count worthy. Now, listen to this. If we're not anchored in a relationship with Christ, then our hearts can easily become seduced by cultural gods. And we cave in to temptation, and our enemy takes us out of the race. Now, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures here. I want you to look at these with me. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are about three scriptures we're going to look at. Actually, it's more than that. 1 Thess chapter 1. Here's what he says. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. That last part is what I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to see. When we get saved, we're actually turning from idols to the living God. Now, everybody was created. We're all created to worship. We're created to worship God. But the devil turns us from worshiping God to worshiping anything else. Because the devil doesn't want you worshiping God. Remember I told you he's going to try to cut off your praise, cut off your worship, cut off your thanksgiving. So he's going to get your allegiance to something other than God. So when you get saved, you're actually turning from idols. You're turning to the living God. Now look at this. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, this is over near Revelation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. First John chapter 5, verse 21. Here's what he says. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Okay, so once you get saved, he said, you've turned from idols to the living God. Now keep yourself. Everybody say, keep yourself.
Keep yourself.
Keep yourself from idols. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Now, why do we want to keep ourselves from idols? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now notice what he says after fornicators. He says, idolaters. Idolaters. He says, don't be deceived. If we live unrighteously, we won't inherit the kingdom. And God wants you to inherit. God has an inheritance for you. The kingdom of God is sent on earth for you, so that you can have the life God created you for. You're supposed to inherit that. The devil wants to get you worshiping idols so that you don't inherit or you don't receive the miracles, the blessing, the prosperity, the happiness, the abundance God wants for you. Are we on the same page? So why do we want to get free from idols? We need God to show us idols. We need to get free from idols because idols will keep us from inheriting what God has for us in the kingdom. Idols will keep us struggling through life. Let me give you a couple things here. Worshiping idols, number one, will harden our hearts. Worshiping idols, if there are idols in your life, you know, when I got saved, and the closer I got with God, the more, there are some things I just had to drop out of. I mean, I used to be in a lot of different clubs and things. I had to drop out because I had to center my allegiance on one Lord. I couldn't have my heart divided. But see, idolatry will harden your heart. Number two, idolatry will prevent us from repenting. So the devil wants us to have idols. He wants us to worship other things other than God so that our hearts will stay hardened in different areas. He'll keep us from repenting for things and drawing closer to God. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. This is Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Giving thanks. Everybody say giving thanks. See, ultimately, the reason we praise God is because he sent Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's what we praise about. That's what all the singing is about. That's all the dancing is about. If you never get prosperous, if you never get a miracle, if you never get healed, we're not praising just because we got stuff. We're praising, we're singing, we're dancing because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and to be our Savior. We have somebody who's leading us. We have somebody who's telling us right from wrong. We have somebody who is a good shepherd to us. And because we have Jesus, because you have Jesus, that's why you're praising. Come on. And praising him will keep you from idols. If you praise, you won't be worshiping idols. And idols harden our hearts, and idols prevent us from repenting. I want to pray for you now. And choir, I want you all to come. Would you all come? and just minister this song. Father, I'm just praying now for every person here. I pray that you'll release, that you'll break up the walls that have held back the praise. I pray that you'll show any idols, anything that's in their life that's kept them from being a worshiper. I just believe that many of them come from families where their mothers and grandmothers and fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers worshiped you freely. I pray that you'll release praise in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And listen, this is our assignment today. This week, as you go home, I want to encourage you to ask God, Lord, show me any idols that I got in my life. Anything I worship more than I worship you, help me to get rid of it. And then ask, then try to find some songs and worship at your house. Invite the presence of God into your house with worship. And just, you got a list of things to look for in songs. Let him enter in and bless your family. Let's stand together. Now remember these words from 2nd.